feeling the world go against us. So we put the world on our shoulders.
I turn to you.
With Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Welcome to The Cure with Amy Cabo and Boris. Listen to us on the radio every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern through our app The Cure or our website amyspurpose.com. That was Sucker for Pain by Imagine Dragons, Lil Wayne, and Wiz Khalifa. Some walk through the fire. No one will try them. The world can be against them, so they put the world on their shoulders. Those are the heroes that save us from the darkest moments. Today's show will focus on human trafficking, ways to help and receive aid. Human trafficking is the recruitment and transport of a child or adult for the purposes of sexual exploitation or forced labor. Sadly, there are many people enslaved today than are in the heights of slavery. There are around 40 million adults and children in forced labor and sexually slavery. Now, that's a lot. And today's special guest is Katarina Rosenblatt. Dr. Rosenblatt has a personal testimony of overcoming human trafficking and abuse. She was kidnapped from Miami from the time she was 13 years of age to the age of 17. After escaping her initial trafficking experiences and drug addiction, she found herself pregnant by a Colombian cartel family member, which soon led her to marrying into the family. This ended in a 20-year abusive marriage where Kat says that leaving was harder than staying in that relationship and family. With so many triumphs over unbeatable obstacles, Kat is now a much sought-after speaker and trainer in the areas of human trafficking and domestic violence, as well as an inspirational leader to women everywhere. Presently, Dr. Kat is a consultant for the FBI and Homeland Security. Katarina, welcome to the show. We're alive in The Cure.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me. And Boris, it's a pleasure to be on your show today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Katarina. It's our honor. Katarina, you have an amazing story, and I'm starting to discover more about it now as I read your book, which I'm quite intrigued. Mm-hmm. But Katarina, you were lured into the sex trade world at 13 and forced to marry the Colombian cartel family. Can you tell us just a little bit about your story, if that's okay?
Yeah, as I was listening to you read off my bio and that end part, leaving was harder than staying, words couldn't be truer, even today. Sometimes you see someone with a PhD and a book, you know, my book Stolen and speaking, but they don't see behind the scenes everything I still have to deal with as a result of getting tangled up with the wrong people so many years ago as a teenager. How it started for me was at 13, I was coming from a dysfunctional home life, and my mom left my abusive father. So abuse in the home made it sort of normal to be re-abused or re-exploited because it was familiar. And so the first trafficking experience I had, which I have to say they were not connected, I had several different experiences of exploitation. The reason being because I didn't have the services like there are today or a ministry like I have. There is hope for me. To help rescue girls and bring them out of the darkness and give them hope. Unfortunately, back then, it was just me and my mom and God. And so at 13, I was recruited at a hotel in Miami Beach through a trafficking ring that was networked throughout the hotel. And they even got hotel employees to be a part of the trafficking, to recruit children and vulnerable young adults into the sex trade. And so the first experience I had was sex tourism, what they call today, with a 65-year-old John, who is the sex buyer, looking to purchase an American virgin girl for $550. And that was my initial entry into that life. Of course, I didn't know the difference between a safe father figure, or safe male for that matter, and unsafe, because all I knew was unsafe my whole life. And so they came across using my vulnerability that they wanted to introduce me to someone who wanted to be a daddy to me. And that's how a lot of girls enter into the sex trade, looking for a father figure or a family to belong to.
And there's a specific vulnerable population to this. These perpetrators, from what I was reading in your book, they seek out and they watch the people that the kids that they target for a while.
For sure.
And you spoke about some of the misconceptions. I mean, this can happen to anyone. A kid's life can be perfect. It can be bad where they're feeling bad, but it can be perfect. And all it is, they just have to not feel loved. And they read this. They can tell.
Absolutely. Yeah, when you come from a home situation where there is no sense of nurturing or connectedness or belonging, you are vulnerable. You're lacking something that is needed in every human being's life. You know, that is the feeling of being wanted. And when you feel rejected or you've been abused or abandoned or lack that nurturing from a mother or a father figure, traffickers can tell because they are studying and watching and looking for vulnerable children and young people that they can prey upon. Both males and females can be traffickers, and both males and females can be victims.
In your book, you also state that you were one of the lucky ones. What is it that makes you feel like one of the lucky ones, having endured what you have endured?
You know, coming back from a meeting in Washington with some of the Department of Justice experts and other survivor leaders around the country, I realized that the services that are being provided to survivors today make it much, much more likely for kids to get out of this situation. You know, there's wonderful law enforcement here in Los Angeles County who are trying very hard to make a difference. And in Kern County. However, in that time when I was experiencing exploitation, human trafficking didn't even have a definition. There was no such thing as it. So it wasn't identified and it wasn't explained, which is why I got re-exploited, because I never had any intervention. I never had anyone to come and explain to me what had happened, which is one of the things that we do through our ministry. There's hope for me because kids don't readily self-identify. And I'm so thankful for how far the movement has come. When you educate someone on what they've experienced, it helps them understand it and not become vulnerable to it again. I was fortunate. Truly, truly, God saved me, because there was nobody rescuing me from that situation. There was a purpose for my life. I mean, I experienced attempted murder. I experienced attempted drug overdose, even suicide. But none of those things worked, and I survived. So that's why I count myself very fortunate that God rescued me for a reason, so that I can be here today to help these other young women and young men who are caught up in sex trafficking, because they're so vulnerable. And it's really an honor and a pleasure to work with them. Every time I speak to a new survivor, I feel just so blessed that God saved me so I can make a difference for them and their lives and help them come out of it.
That's amazing. And it's a very difficult thing to go to. The consequences are quite grave. Sometimes it can take years and years. And sometimes the victim just goes into the adult business because they just have a low self-esteem and they think they aren't worth anything. And they give permission for others to continue abusing them. And it can be a chain reaction. And it can go down from generation to generation until somebody breaks the cycle. But for those that are not familiar with human trafficking, it's a little different than sexual abuse, where the sexual abuse can be a family member or someone that you know, and it stays within the family. But when you're when you go into the sex trading business, you're kidnapped. You're not returned to your family. And this could be years with different people. Am I right?
So there's so many points that you just talked about that I think are very valid to talk about. And so let me first say that abuse...
Oh, but let's get back to... We have to come to a short break. I'm sorry to do that, but please hold on to that thought. When we're back, we will continue talking to Dr. Katarina Rosenblatt, Dr. Kat, about fighting and surviving human trafficking. I'm Amy Cabo. This is The Cure.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Life can bring many difficult situations. Domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. The issue is not stay there, but to overcome all obstacles and show that with the love of God, your husband, and your family, you can succeed. Love is the answer, God is the cure, reveals Amy Cabo's life. A warrior who didn't give up and achieved the dream of her life. You can get to know more about her and her story on GodIsTheCure.com or buying her book on Amazon.com.
About a million reasons I bow down to pray. I try to make the worst seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all this worn out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away, but baby, I just need one good one to stay.
And now we will continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure.
We're back. Thanks for being with us. I'm Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to The Cure every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern on your radio or on our app called The Cure and on social media. Our shows are also available on podcast. Just look for The Cure. That was Million Reasons by Lady Gaga. When I pray, the worst seems better. The Lord shows me the way. And even though at times I have 100 million reasons to walk away, God always gives one good reason to stay. Katarina, we were just talking about something before the break came upon. Do you remember?
Sometimes people mistake trafficking in America with what they see on TV or in the movie Taken. It's not always kidnapping. So I just want to correct that off the bat, because I do have an experience of both, where you experience kidnapping right off the bat. That was my first experience. However, there was also a lot of fraud or coercion and manipulation, basically, in the relationship. And that's how a lot of trafficking of American, domestic trafficking of children happens. It's through false friendships, false boyfriends, false relationships. Now, also, I want to share that the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, which is our federal law that governs this issue in our United States, says that anyone under the age of 18 who's engaged in any form of commercial sex, that's stripping, porn, prostitution, or massage parlors, could be a victim of human trafficking. So just the fact that they're a minor qualifies them. But if they're over 18 and there's elements of force, fraud, or coercion, then they also could be victims of human trafficking. However, a lot of times there's at least one of those elements in a child's life that causes them to be lured into the sex trade. And it's very difficult to break that bond that the trafficker has made with the child. It's called a trauma bond because they've met some need, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, shelter, clothing, or sense of belonging. And because of that, or even security, because they're running from an abusive home, the trafficker sets this false relationship up, and the child buys into it because they don't know the difference, like I didn't know, healthy versus unhealthy. And because of that, they become bonded to the trafficker because they've met some need. And so breaking that bond is what we do with our mentoring program, There Is Hope For Me, here in California as well as in Florida, and we have survivor leaders around the country. So we try to break that bond through a survivor-to-survivor peer mentoring support and then turn the tables on the traffickers by showing the child that they've been a victim of a crime instead of a perpetrator of it. I hope that makes sense.
Yes, it does. And it can be a combination of grooming and drug addiction. And, you know, a little bit of suffering, but then I'm really nice to you. That kind of thing. And over time and over years, I don't remember what the term is called, but you can learn to love your situation and your abusers. Mm-hmm. And you know no different.
Yeah, that's very good insight, Amy. And I love your book and what you stand for and everything you've gone through and what you were saying on the commercial break. I think it takes warriors like you and I who have experienced something to really speak into this issue. And I'm thankful you guys, I'm proud of you guys for wanting to tackle this issue on air, because we're just scratching the surface in some states around the U.S. But now that I'm here in California, I realize how much the need is to educate society, those in the public eye, on what is trafficking, and those in law enforcement, how to create collaborative approaches, and I'm thankful that they're very open to that. However, to speak to survivors, you're right, there is a starting point. How does somebody become vulnerable, as we were talking about before the break? And abuse oftentimes starts within the home. It can be as small as emotional abuse, but emotional abuse is still abuse. The minute someone convinces you or talks you out of denying your feelings, you're being abused. The minute someone talks you out of denying your feelings, you're being abused. And so when you feel like you're being rejected, shamed, blamed, or any type of uneasy feeling, you need to identify that and stop it immediately. Because if you allow it to continue, sometimes you don't even know that it's happening. And hopefully this radio program will reach somebody who can identify what I'm talking about. You just know something's not right in this relationship.
Anything that's repeated over and over and over a period of time, whether you want to believe it or not, in the beginning, you end up believing it. That's just part of common sense. But is there any signs that we can look for in others that fall victim to sex trafficking, or that may have fallen victim, or to, like, for an innocent bystander looking on, some things that we may want to look for? Like, it's not normal for an 18-year-old or 19-year-old to be talking to a 13-year-old or 12-year-old. They usually hang around people their own age, not kids. Things like that, that people may not know about.
Absolutely. So the first thing to say is that if you think you have been a victim or you've seen trafficking, you can report it anonymously through the National Human Trafficking Hotline. It's 888-3737-888. And that's the Polaris Project National Human Trafficking Hotline. So I just want to give that out. If you see a lot of men coming in and out of homes, because a lot of brothels are
or a hotel
in
room.
Residential neighborhoods, or hotel rooms,
so
or apartment
see complex. Something, say something, and basically.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you yourself have been a victim of this, it started out subtly, maybe at home, normalizing abuse, emotional abuse, physical, verbal, and then sexual abuse. If you don't try to get some help for yourself, which I want everyone to know nobody deserves to be abused in any way or exploited in any situation. Abuse is wrong and should not be tolerated in the workplace or at home or in your childhood. It should be dealt with, it should be reported, and you deserve to get help. If you have experienced exploitation, that's a grooming, as you said, you know, an older man or an older woman, a false friend or a false love relationship, or even an offer of making money through modeling or some other scam, and then you find that this wasn't what you thought it was, you become tricked, and they turn the tables on you, and you find yourself involved in some form of commercial sex or forced labor where you're not getting paid the wages you were promised, or your body is being exploited, sexually abused by others, and you're a child, which was the situation in my case. I wasn't paid or offered any type of monetary gain, but I was a child and I was being sexually abused and exploited because others were gaining off of the use of my body for their benefit. And right. Even a child may benefit something in terms of a place to stay, shelter, or, you know, even drugs. They would give me cocaine, and I thought these relationships were real, but it really wasn't what they said it was. It wasn't a family. Every man that came was either a brother, a cousin, an uncle, somebody that they created this family life.
It's almost that mentality that they beat you while you're down. Like the pack mentality, when a sick animal's sick, they all try to do the mercy killing, that kind of thing. It's kind of crazy, but not only did you author a great book called Stolen, that it's real testimonies of real life cases, but you also created a survivor-to-survivor mentoring program that's called Hope. What would you like for people to get out of the book, Stolen? We have just 1 minute left.
First, I want to say, if you have been a victim of abuse or trafficking, know that it's not your fault. You are not to blame. To have those needs and vulnerabilities is not a crime. For those vulnerabilities and needs to be exploited is a crime, and it's a federal crime. And you can call and get help. I think through my book, Stolen, it can open the eyes of many people. In speaking with children and high schoolers, I found that 1 in 3 middle schoolers were being recruited and 1 in 9 high schoolers through social media and false friendships online. So be aware of who your children are talking to the parents, and get involved in their lives. Abuse starts in the home. Be a safe family, be a safe person, and build your child up. And for those who are helping in this movement, build up survivors and survivor leadership. And together we can and will make a difference for the lives of trafficking survivors around the world.
Try not to be guilty of not doing enough. Be active. Do what you can. Katarina, it's the end of the show, and we thank you so much. I know it was very hard to schedule you. You're such a busy person, so God bless you for taking your time to speak with us today.
God bless you.
And thank you to our audio engineer, Jasper, for helping with the sounds. Wow, what great guests we have. For more information on Dr. Katarina Rosenblatt and her work, please go to thereishopeforme.org. Let's pray. Dear Lord, just as you helped Moses and Aaron as they spoke boldly to Pariah on behalf of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, help us speak for modern-day slaves around the world. Dear Lord, you are a strong tower and mighty fortress. Help your rescued children feel safe and begin to heal. Protect them from those who seek to harm them. Dear Lord, your word shows that you bring you joy and hope where previously there was only shame and fear. We ask this for our brothers and sisters who desperately need to accept that they can be made new. Dear Lord, you demand justice for those who have been wronged. Give strength to those who investigate and prosecute traffickers. Encourage them when they are weary. Give courage to survivors when they are asked to testify against their former captors. Amen. This is Amy Cabo. You have been listening to The Cure. Thank you for being with us. Until next week, much love.
for listening to The Cure with Amy Cabo. For more information or to get Amy's book, Love is the Answer, God is the Cure, or to listen to the podcasts of previous shows, visit godisthecure.com.